Doesn't Mother Mukhi do an amazing job? Tonight's class will be entirely in poetry. You think I'm kidding? No. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janabala Vagiri Varadhari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janabala Bhagiri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tirambana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janabala Bhagiri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tirambana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janabala Bhagiri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tirambana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janabala Bhagiri Varadhari Gaur Premanandi Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Shyama Sundara ki jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Thank you very much, Krishna. So tonight I'd like to speak about some reflections on ISKCON's 50th anniversary. This is these are the last few weeks of this very noteworthy year. 50 years means that an organization has a very good chance of surviving. They make it the first 50 years, so it's quite a milestone. So in preparing for the class, I was trying to think of the verse, and I want to ask your help in this. What is the verse from Bhagavad Gita that best exemplifies ISKCON? Manmana Baba Mad Bhakto, okay, yeah. Always think of me, become my devotee. Yeah? Always talking about Krishna. That's a nice one also. I thought of more, we can say, kind of negative ones. Or, what's that? What is that verse? Just the gist of it. 9:31? Any other thoughts?
3:30. Can I say it in English?
Go right ahead. Yeah.
This one's good for me, and I think it's a great talk. Ah. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all you works unto me with full knowledge of me without desire for profit, with no claims to proprietorship and free from lethargy. Fight.
Fight. Butch is a fighter. Stand back. All right. Gornatraj Prabhu, yes. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he's engaged in devotional service, to be considered saintly. Yes, that's also very apropos. The reason I say balanced verses, there's many positive, uplifting verses in Bhagavad Gita, and there's other very compassionate verses. Those were the ones that struck me. How Krishna allows us to take part in this glorious movement because he's very compassionate and accepting of all sorts of people. After all, this movement, Srila Prabhupada started, his going on all over the world. It's a miracle. In China, thousands of devotees. In Russia and Ukraine and parts of the world where there was never even an imagination that it could be such a movement. You know, this is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as presented and delivered to the world by Srila Prabhupada. So, I thought of three verses. One is, even if one's considered the most sinful of all sinners, 4:36. If he's situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, can cross the ocean of birth and death. And, let's see, also here from the 9th chapter. Yes, mami parta vipashita. Those who take shelter of me, even if they're of lower birth, can achieve the supreme destination. But the one I chose for tonight's class is 1858. Mayi sarvani durgani. If you become conscious of me, Krishna says, you will cross over all obstacles by my grace. It's such a beautiful verse. Let's chant this one together, shall we? Machchita sarva durgani. Mat prasadat tarishyati. Atachet tvam ahankaran. Nasroshyasi vinanksyasi. Matchita sarvadurgani. Mat prasadat tarishyasi. Tachet tvam ahankaran. Nashrosyasi vinankshyasi. Let's read the synonyms together, please. Mat, of me. Chitta, being in consciousness. Sarva, all. Durgani, impediments. Mat prasadat, by my mercy. Tarishyasi, you will overcome. Ata, but. Chet, if, from, you, ahankarat, by false ego, nashosyasi, do not hear, vinangshyasi, you will be lost. In translation, again, let's read together. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Purport. A person in full Krishna consciousness is not unduly anxious about executing the duties of his existence. The foolish cannot understand this great freedom from all anxiety. For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort, and he gives himself to his friend, who is so devotedly engaged working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. Therefore, no one should be carried away by the false ego of the bodily concept of life. One should not falsely think himself independent of the laws of material nature or free to act. He is already under strict material laws. But as soon as he acts in Krishna consciousness, He is liberated, free from the material perplexities. One should note very carefully that one who is not active in Krishna consciousness is losing himself in the material whirlpool, in the ocean of birth and death. No conditioned soul actually knows what is to be done and what is not to be done. But a person who acts in Krishna consciousness is free to act because everything is prompted by Krishna from within and confirmed by the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When I was 15, I went with my parents to a church retreat. We were a vanilla Protestant family, and my father worked for a hospital which was associated with a church. So this retreat was sponsored by the church in one of their religious camps. So we're driving in. It was after dark, and my father turned off the headlights once we pulled into the driveway, the long driveway going into the camp area. He turned off the lights, and we're driving along in the twilight without the lights on. My mother said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "Well, I don't want them to see that we're coming in, because they're having a religious service right now, and I don't really want to go." So, yeah, so this was my spiritual upbringing. When we talk about obstacles and ISKCON, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, first we think of Srila Prabhupada. What were the amazing obstacles Srila Prabhupada faced? First of all, obviously he had no resources, no man, no money. He was coming more or less penniless to a strange country. What other obstacles can you think of that Srila Prabhupada encountered? Everything he stood for was antithetical to the values and practices and norms of the culture he was reaching for. Yes, he said, as soon as they hear I am advocating celibacy, no intoxication, no meat eating, they will say, "You please go home." Good. Yes, so tremendous. It wasn't that he was coming to a land of receptive people. Any other thoughts? Yes? He got no encouragement from back home in India amongst his god brothers. In fact, they were critical of him. And it wasn't that anyone would have cared if he'd hopped back on the next boat back to India. Right? No one would have been said, no, wait. No one would have known. Certainly, he was dependent upon his own initiative to start this movement. Any other thoughts? Yes, to just the journey itself was daunting. Yes, especially at his advanced age of 70. And he nearly died on the way. So many obstacles. And then even when he began the movement, what sort of obstacles was he encountering? He had to deal with us, right? A very inexperienced young men and women who were his disciples and whom he had to entrust the movement. So, an absence of qualified people, that was certainly a big obstacle. Anything else you can think of? How about books? Yes, the government attacked what he was doing and tried by all means to stop the movement, accusing it of being a brainwashing cult, trying to discredit it legally. Those who tried failed, fortunately, because this country is built on religious freedom, and the court ruled clearly this is a genuine religious movement. Yes. He began with the lack of books I was mentioning. He had his own. He had to publish all of his own literature. So many obstacles. So, Matchita Sarva Dorgani, Mat Prasada Tarishyasi. Everyone likes this verse because the word prasad is in this verse. Mat Prasada. By my mercy, you can overcome these obstacles. By the way, that second half of the verse, if you just put it back, so nice. Atachetvam ahankaram. But if you act out of false ego, na shroshyasi, not hearing me, vinangshyasi. Prabhupada translates that last word, vinangshyasi, in a very nice way, and you will be lost. Now, in the tradition I was brought up in, I would find very threatening statements in the scriptures. Now, if you don't obey, you will be punished. But here Krishna is saying, you'll be lost. And if a parent loses a child, the parent is not in the mood to punish it. The parent is sad. Vinakshasi, you'll be lost. You'll be lost to me and lost to yourself. So Krishna is not threatening, forcing, fear-mongering. He is sad. He is compassionate. He is hopeful that that we will make that choice. That line is so nice. So Prabhupada initiated about 4,000 disciples and then left this world around, 39 years ago this one. So leaving the movement in our hands, in the hands of his disciples, then his disciples had to face many obstacles. What are some of the obstacles that the first generation of Prabhupada's disciples had to face? None? Keeping the dignity of the guru, keeping Srila Prabhupada's standards, that's a very good one, yes? Again, yes, threats from the people who wanted to discredit the movement. Dealing with our parents. Yes, that was it's a very difficult challenge. If you take up spiritual life, it's like getting married. You immediately have so many friends and enemies. You know, some of the in-laws will like you, some of them will hate you. So you take up spiritual life, immediately some family members and friends will feel that they have been abandoned, and they'll feel very put a lot of pressure. Don't you care about us? So devotees had to deal with this sort of obstacle. Yes?
When the father and the children can get along better because the devotees make sure that everyone is nice to each other. When the father is not there, then the children may
abandon each other. Yes, the children. That was a big challenge. It continues to be. The devotees disagree and don't know how to deal with those disagreements. The harmony that pervaded the association of devotees in Srila Prabhupada's presence began to disintegrate in his physical absence. Certainly a big obstacle. Yes, Anita? Yes, we weren't prepared to deal with the responsibilities of household life, and because there weren't really experienced householders to guide us. So, everything had to be learned by trial and error. A very, very good point. You know, the first pioneers to travel from the East Coast of the United States to the West over the Oregon Trail, the first generation of pioneers, the expectation was one out of three of them would die on the journey. Just on the journey, you would only have a 2/3 chance of surviving. Now you can make that same journey for $150 in about 4 hours. Okay? So the pioneers pay a very heavy price and make the trail a little easier for the successive generations. So if I had to summarize the obstacles for our generation of Prabhupada disciples, I'd say that we did not have culture. We had not sufficiently imbibed the culture of bhakti to manifest it properly in our lives and share it properly with others. We failed to cherish our children, for example. We failed to value the responsibilities of householders, like you're saying, to develop economically. We failed to cherish the women in this movement. And there was a tremendous saffron wave that overtook the movement in the mid-70s that really never relinquished because most of the devotees are not renunciates. You know, by far, the great majority will not be renunciates. And yet that was seen to be valued above all else. That indicates a lack of culture, of balance, you know. This is my white power lecture. There was no culture, lack of culture, and so many people suffered as a result. The movement splintered to some degree as a result, you know, disaffected. We failed to cherish the devotees properly, and as a result, some broke off here, broke off there. But somehow the devotees have persevered. I think that is a great credit to Srila Prabhupada. To achieve this 50-year milestone is very significant. And the international scope of the movement is very significant. Yadubar and Vishakha Prabhus are working on this beautiful film. Can I tell the working title, or is it still a secret? They're calling it Hare Krishna, the Mantra, the Movement, and the Swami Who Started It All. You like that? So this is a 50th anniversary landmark film glorifying Srila Prabhupada and his mission, which is very beautifully and professionally done. I'm sure it will be very successful in reaching a much wider audience. But this has been these have been the obstacles our generation has had to deal with. Now, I'd just like to conclude. What are the obstacles coming up that face younger devotees today? You know? Parents still there? This is Butch and George, two young devotees who have just taken up Krishna consciousness this year. You mean your parents aren't delighted? Your family? There's a wonderful verse by Madhavendra Puri I'd like to refer you to. Madhavendra Puri was the grand spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, who really introduced the worship of Radha and Krishna in our line. And he said that, since I have taken up Krishna consciousness, my brothers think I have gone mad. My friends think I'm a fool. The wealthy people think I'm just wasting my time. I could be earning money. And philosophers think that I'm much too proud. Everybody's criticizing me. And still, my determination to serve Krishna does not budge one inch, although I'm unable to do it. This is the challenging existential position of a devotee. So yes, what other obstacles face the next generation going forward? Yes? Maintenance. It is. Yes, it is hard to maintain. Yes, like you're saying, Lord Brahma manifests to create, Lord Shiva manifests to destroy, but Lord Vishnu has to personally come to maintain. Right? It's the hardest part. This is certainly a challenge to sustain the movement. The demographics of ISKCON have changed enormously. You know, Srila Prabhupada initiated basically a handful of Indian-born disciples. Most of his disciples were American and European. So now the majority of membership in our society worldwide is certainly from the Indian diaspora, because they greatly appreciate the message that Srila Prabhupada brought. The challenge is that, as my godbrother Devamrita Maharaj says, the Indian community is the low-hanging fruit, because they're very naturally allies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So they'll very easily participate and chant and support the movement. But to get the full benefit of the tree, you have to reach up higher for more difficult fruits, right? I think this is a big challenge for the devotees and for the movement going forward. Can we reach the broader community? You know, not simply the Indian community, who will naturally appreciate, but people who have no idea and who have no appreciation for what we have to offer, they have to be educated to a point of being able to appreciate. And that takes a lot of time and patience. Look what Srila Prabhupada did, you know. He tolerated so much people living in the temple who were not following the principles, but he let them stay if they do a little service. A whole room full of young men wanting to use this elderly Swami's shower, and him standing in line waiting for them to finish. You know, all kinds of madness and strange ideas and ups and downs. But he so much appreciated and valued each individual that his compassion overcame all of these obstacles and reservations in their minds and their lives so that they could give them their hearts completely to his service. It is an amazing thing, isn't it? So I see that as a great challenge for us all, to manifest Srila Prabhupada's compassion and his vision and his appreciation for newcomers and for innocent people everywhere who could listen and could hear if we present properly. You know, regardless of their ethnicity or their nationality, their gender or their age, this is the challenge for the current generation and coming generations. This is why I mentioned my father, that story, because it would be very easy for Hare Krishna to become kind of another, you know, official religion that you, okay, officially belong to, but don't really practice, don't really have a feeling for. And this is the challenge, the obstacle for us now going forward. You know, there are people who are born in Krishna consciousness. That's another thing that we didn't have in our generation. There were only devotees coming to Krishna consciousness. And I guess Mother Sukada and Mother Mukhya and all of us who've been so fortunate, we can attest it was a tremendously transformative experience to become a devotee and to have this spiritual awakening. That's something that cannot be inherited. You know, it can't be passed down or given in a will. It has to be experienced individually. So the devotees who are born in this movement don't automatically get it. They have a great opportunity, but it doesn't come in and of itself, right? We have a term for this we use to differentiate between people who are born in the movement. Those are organics. And those who are converts, we call them GMOs. You know? It stands for Gauranga Modified Organism. So the organics and the GMOs have very different views of Krishna consciousness. You know, the organics, being so steeped in the culture, brought up in it, are naturally interested in what's outside and kind of, again, take for granted the practices of Krishna consciousness. And the GMOs, on the other hand, are not very cultured, but they have this energy of transformation that drives them forward. So the diversity in this movement going forward is going to be a challenge for everybody. You know, there will be converts, organics, there'll be Indian families, Western families, there will be men, women, people of different backgrounds of all kinds, different educational backgrounds, different social backgrounds, different economic backgrounds. That's the beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Everybody is welcome. And this, of course, is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, in those other verses. Mamhi partha vipashtrita yepi su papa yonara striyo vaishas tatas sutras tepi yanti param gatim. Anyone can approach the supreme destination regardless of their birth. This is the message of Bhagavad Gita. So the challenge for the generation coming forward is to see that every spirit soul is just that, not their body. To be able to see people spiritually. In the Nectar of Instruction, we're advised to find out a devotee whose heart has no propensity to criticize others, has no sense of bodily identity. We are advised also to come to that stage ourselves through our own yoga practice. In the fifth chapter, Krishna says that a person who's on a higher platform of yoga sees everybody equally, a friend, a stranger, and even an enemy. Isn't that a challenge for us all? So the obstacle we face is our own personal spiritual advancement. This movement still has critics and enemies, I make no doubt, have no doubt about it. Just this week in the Alligator newspaper, I don't know if some of you may have seen this, there was an article published by a young lady who interviewed another young student there at UF who was of Indian descent, who was very critical of the devotees. She said, well, real Hindus don't try to convert others, and this Hare Krishna is a kind of whitewashed Hinduism. And I'm sad, she said, to see people being introduced to Hinduism through this misappropriated version. It's just an example of cultural imperialism, she said. You know, the British gave the spiritual practice of India this name, Hinduism, and now they're trying to co-opt it. Yeah. Very strong statement she made. And so I had to respond to this letter, and I made this point that the whole diatribe she gave about us did not even mention the Bhagavad Gita once. Now, Hinduism is certainly very diverse. They say there's 1 billion Hindus and 1 billion forms of Hinduism. So yes, it's very diverse, but the one thing that all Hindus will agree upon is the sanctity and the wisdom of Bhagavad Gita. So how can we have a discussion about Hinduism without even mentioning Bhagavad Gita? And what does the Bhagavad Gita say? Mamhi Partha Vipashrita Yepi Su Papa Yonaya. Papa Yonaya means sinful birth. Even if one is not born in an elevated family, even if one is not born in an environment where spirituality is encouraged or taught or practiced, even such people can approach the supreme destination. So that is an obstacle, a challenge for us going forward, to not only present the teachings properly, authoritatively, with reference to Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, but to embody what it means to be a Vaishnava. And that is the quality of the Vaishnava, that to see others with compassion, isn't it? The beginning Vaishnava cannot make the discrimination between who's advanced and who's not, who's interested and who's not. So they tend to make a lot of bad judgments and get in fights or disagreements rather easily. The more advanced Vaishnava, the Madhyama, can discriminate. Okay, this person is interested and sincere. This person is inimical. Let me avoid this person. Let me share Krishna consciousness with this person. And especially family members. When I went home to visit him once, my dad said, "Don't preach to me." I said, "Okay, I guess." So, God rest him. The personal spiritual development, I would say, for all of us, old devotees, new devotees, that is the biggest obstacle that we face. So what does it take for personal spiritual development? First of all, we have to have a real attachment to the holy name. That takes time. But we cannot replace chanting with something else. You know, the chanting is the one thing that distinguishes us from others who may even profess our faith. But the chanting is something that's just you, your mind, and Krishna. And it takes a great deal of commitment to do that every day. I once tallied up how many hours I spent chanting since I got initiated. And it worked out to like about 8 work years, you know, of just chanting japa. So whatever I could have earned in a year, where I spent chanting Hare Krishna instead. And we're all like that. It's, you know, 8-10% of our life every day is devoted just to the beads. That's a tremendous commitment. But if we can do that and maintain that, it's like a vaccination that immunizes us from the disease of material attachment. So chanting cannot be replaced, and service cannot be replaced. Some service that we do for Krishna, whether we're raising a family for Krishna, or doing a job for Krishna, or distributing books for Krishna or worshiping the deity of Krishna. The service itself is not the issue. The identification with our particular service, that's what's important and can't be replaced. Now, a devotee can do anything. Prabhupada said, be a jack of all trades and a master of one. So some particular service that we so much want to do for Krishna that we can actually shed tears out of desire, intense desire to offer that service to Krishna. This is called Asha Bandha in the Nectar of Devotion. And it says that one should learn this small technique. Something we want to do for Krishna so much that it makes us want to get up in the morning. It makes us want to purify our minds and our hearts by chanting. It makes us want to expend our energy every day to perfect that service and offer it to Krishna. There's no substitute for taste in spiritual life, as I learned from my father in the car that night so many years ago. You know, it's not enough to profess a faith. But if we live that faith, then this movement will go on and on and on. Because ultimately that is the difference, you know, between a spiritualist and a materialist. It's not lip service, but it's what you do with your time. It's very challenging to be a devotee to do this. I just want to conclude with a story from Krishna Lunch from years ago. And there was a young man, very bright young man, who graduated from Wharton Business School, the same school Donald Trump graduated from. And after graduating from business school, he felt the calling to proselytize his faith very strong. So he decided to come to Florida and reach all the heathens at the University of Florida. And so he set up shop with his scripture and with his signs right next to the Krishna Lunch, where we're serving prasadam to hundreds of students every day. So he was rather blunt. He said, if you eat this food, you're going to hell. This food has been offered to idols. You shouldn't eat this food. And then he would read very loudly from his scripture while people were waiting in line, even while they're eating their lunch. So we had to decide how we're going, and he was very persistent. He was there every single day. So we had to decide how we're going to deal with this. I tried to reason with him. He wouldn't talk to me. I brought him some prasadam, refused to take it. You know, what do? Do we call the police? It's the free speech zone. Does he have a right to harangue people and try to drive them away? The people who were members of his faith coming through our line would say, I'm sorry for this guy. I really don't believe what he's doing. You know, so that was encouraging. But we decided the only thing we could do was just tolerate him. Just keep our heads down and tolerate. So that's what we did. And we served prasadam and just listened to all these insults. And finally, seeing this, the students themselves decided to take matters into their own hands. And these are students who didn't subscribe to our faith, but they appreciated that we were tolerating. So one young man took out his chemistry textbook. He went and stood next to the young man who was screaming from the Bible. And he started screaming from, and the oxygen molecule combines with the hydrogen molecule. And just as you did, everybody laughed. And you know what the young preacher did? He turned to him and he said, you're being rude. And everyone laughed harder. So that got his attention. But he came back the next day. So the next day, two or three students came up to him while he was speaking, and they started offering pranams and obeisances and saying, we're not worthy, we're not worthy. And that was too much for him. He just left after that. So the lesson I got from that is that we can establish and perpetuate and continue this movement, not by logic and debate, but by behavior. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj says that the principles of religion are established not by scriptural debate, but by the behavior of the devotees. So if we as devotees commit ourselves to chanting, commit ourselves to some service to Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, we'll be purified. Automatically, people will become attracted to this movement. That's certainly the greatest obstacle, isn't it? Our mind, our senses, and our conditioning. But machchita sarva durgani mat prasada tarishyasi. By Krishna's grace, even those obstacles can be overcome for us all. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mukhya Prabhu, do we have time for questions or should we? Let's take a couple minutes for anyone would like to ask a question? A comment? It's fine if not. All right, let's take prasanna. Hari Bol.